everyone. Welcome to episode 8 of Case in Point. I'm your host, Justin Case. And with me, I have my co-host, Jody Yearn. How you doing, Jody?
I'm doing well. Hello, everybody. Nice to be here.
Oh, yeah. And we today are going to, as promised, talk about the 2000s comics, which I don't know if you recall modern age because it's 2016 now, but the 2000s, early 2000s. And
2000s to current.
Are you, Jody, are you a 2000 man? I just want to know.
It's in the top. It's one of my top 15 tracks on Kiss Unplugged. We made some promises the last episode. We had a listener question that we're going to revisit tonight. And you promised last episode to regale us with some tales of your time working in a comic book store.
Boy, are you guys in for a treat.
I'd like to hear that.
Oh yeah, you're going to get an earful, everybody. And I'm just glad. I'm very thankful to Mr. Nick Garcia for his suggestions for Star Comics. And
you wanted to hear about Star Comics and New Universe Comics.
And New Universe Comics. And but particularly the Star Comics for me it brought back a lot of childhood memories because they were they had a lot of the characters, Spider-Ham, and who is the little guy, the little boy with the white hair and the jetpack? I'm trying to remember his name.
Oh, you
Planetary.
Like to ask.
Planetary. Yeah. And those are really I remember seeing those on the spinner rack at the Limerick gas station in Limerick, New York. And once again, like we mentioned, I think we talked about them last episode or the episode before where they had all the wrestling videos, but they had a spinner rack back there. And, because I talked about the Adam Warlock comic that I had, which is just terrible, but it's a cool cover. But you would see those comic books on the rack and, you know, people are going for like Spider-Man and, you know, the A-list characters, but you'd always see these comic books there. And when I was like 4 or 5 years old, my mom would not allow me to get the more serious titles. She would get me those Star comics like Planetary. And I think Heathcliff was on there, right? Spider-Ham was the one. Yeah.
Yes.
Spider-Ham.
They had a ton of licensed books.
What's that?
They had a ton of licensed books. They did, did you say Heathcliff, right?
Yep.
Heathcliff Comics, Elf Comics, I'm just thinking of what I had off the top of my head. Heathcliff, Elf, they did Thundercats. They did the Thundercats book.
And let's not forget Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
I thought that my mom would buy me the Spider-Ham comic books. And I loved them. They were great, and I wish I still had some, but as a rather eccentric 4-year-old, I either colored on them or I ripped them to shreds or they got thrown out. So I don't even know where they are. Couldn't even tell you. Probably already decayed by now in a landfill. But I actually did not realize that Star Comics did Masters. I thought that those were kind of a mini series, which they did a mini series, but I didn't realize that they did some under the Star Comics badge, which is a subset of Marvel Comics. What are your memories?
Well, I believe, if my memory serves, I believe DC did the original Masters of the Universe mini series in like 82, 83, and then Star Comics did a series in like right during its heyday, like 85, 86.
Yeah. Yeah, because they did. Now, did they do Casper and Hot Stuff too? Or was that strictly Archie's?
That was
Archie's, right? Archie Comics?
Yes. Casper. No, not Archie. Harvey Comics.
Harvey Comics. And who did
Harvey
Richie
Comics
Rich?
Did Richie Rich. And
yeah, that's right.
Casper,
okay.
Casper and.
Jetsons? Were Jetsons in there?
The other one? Little. Hot Stuff.
Yeah.
Hot Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother and I had some
Woody
of those.
Woodpecker. I think I have Woody Woodpecker comics at home or somewhere with Harvey comics. See, myself, even as a little kid, I preferred the superhero comics. But in a pinch, you would be, well, I don't like any of this stuff, so I guess I'll get this issue of, I'll get this Elf annual instead. Look, his head is on Mount Rushmore. This is something I got to look into. So I guess I'll make Mom shell out this $2 for these Elf, this Elf annual number one instead.
Oh, yeah, $2 because it's an annual. Yeah, I gotcha. It's a lot thicker.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of Elf. A lot of bang for your buck on that one.
Yeah. Was it based on anything from the TV series, or was it its own independent storyline?
Well, it was from the show, but they took liberties. Like, here he is at Mount Rushmore. They could never have done that on the show. The Alien Task Force is going to see him. They could take, they're weary about Elf hanging out in the kitchen or out in the garage. They can't take him across the country to South Dakota.
Not to mention the limited budget of the TV series.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, Elf was hot circa 86, 87.
Yeah.
I was full bore, man. You didn't like Elf, did you?
No, I still don't.
Well, you're a turd, so. Yeah,
that's
you
okay.
Told me that. You told me you didn't like Elf. I'm going to tell you right now, that show still holds up. Still holds up. It's still funny. I enjoy it. But I digress. No, Elf was hot. I mean, he had his own cartoon.
And toys.
Which the cartoon was garbage.
I think he had toys. He had toys.
Elf Melmac Adventures. And
yeah.
not good. The cartoon was not good. But the live action stuff, gold. Pure gold.
Well,
I will defend Elf with my dying breath. He's the man.
Okay. Well, you know, that being said, you need to remember, you know, that Jason and I, we were watching we were kind of a different demographic back in those days. We were not sitcom people. We were A-Team and MacGyver, Knight Rider, Airwolf, Dukes of Hazzard. We were watching.
Hey, I liked all that stuff, too. I just like to brush. I like to laugh. I like Elf. I'll watch Elf. I'll watch Perfect Strangers. This stuff is funny. But I liked A-Team just the same. A-Team, Fall Guy, Dukes of Hazzard. I liked it all.
Yeah, my brother and I, we weren't into like a lot of comedy stuff like that until we got older, you know. And we watched it. We're kind of more of a straight laced kind of we wanted to see, you know, explosions, and we wanted to see someone lock the A-Team in a garage with torches and build this crazy modified vehicle to come slamming out of the warehouse and all that, but. And the same went for the comic books, because like the Star comics, I would see those on the rack, brought back a lot of memories, but I never, you know, my mom would get me Spider-Ham, but, I didn't, you know, really make a habit out of wanting those or asking for those. But I did like there's like the Richie Rich cartoon. I actually really enjoyed that when I was a kid, and, you know, it was pretty good. And probably doesn't hold up now, and I certainly didn't watch the Macaulay Culkin movie. I was a teenager at that point, and I was above that stuff in my own mind. But did you prefer those over some of the more flagship characters in Marvel, Jody, or did you see those as kind of like, these are pretty good too, the Star comics?
No, I was more of a, like, this is kid stuff. I want the superheroes. And I'm like five, you know, five
right.
or six.
Yeah.
And like, no, this is the kid stuff. Most of the Star stuff I had was along the lines of licensed stuff, like Elf, or I have Thundercats, two or three issues of Thundercats. More along the lines of that sort of thing. Names I knew. I really didn't have much of the Planetary or, as you said, like Spider-Ham. I'm trying to think of some of the other titles, and again, it really wasn't in my wheelhouse. So I did some research, but this was the last time we recorded, and I'm drawing a blank on what some of those additional titles were, so I apologize to the listener for that. Because it just wasn't anything that I read as a kid.
Right.
Which I can actually say the same for the New Universe stuff. My New Universe, and I'm familiar with those titles, just the looks of them and the, just seeing them, the titles of them, because
yeah,
I've been going through 50-cent and quarter boxes for the last 20 years, so that is where you would mostly find any of the New Universe stuff, is in a quarter or 50-cent bin, and as soon as I would see that New Universe banner on top,
I'd flip past them.
Usually something that I would not be interested.
No,
in
I'd myself. Flip right past them. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did the Quasar character make it to the New Universe comics? Did he actually? Because New Universe, was that considered like the undercard of, you know, or was
New
that...
Universe was supposed to be an actual New Universe? This is an idea that they had actually in the mid '80s to reboot Marvel, and they decided instead of doing like a hard reboot, that they were going to just set aside a brand new universe that was basically our world, like the real world, with a few superheroes peppered in. Which
sounds kind of dry.
Almost sounds like Earth Prime in the DC universe.
Huh.
But I do believe Quasar did make. You were right. I think Quasar did originate in the new universe. And
yeah, the headband
made
Quasar
his way over to Marvel proper. Most of those characters. Like your DP7 or your Kickers Inc. did eventually make it over to Star Brand. They did eventually make it into the proper Marvel universe.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I remember, is there was a transition there. Do you think they're kind of treating it as like a testing ground for characters, and then maybe like, hey, if it really caught on, they would transfer it over, you think? Or what was the deal with that, you think?
Well, from what I've read, they were really different. I think if you read the books from that time, the promotional work was pretty strong, but they gave up on it after about 7 or 8 months because of not the strongest sales. They kind of gave up on it, and it really, I believe it started in 86, and by 89, everything had been canceled. And I think even by 87 or 88, there was only maybe two titles left that were doing, you know, okay business. And it's weird because back in the 80s, you know, a title that sold, trying to think of a number, 100,000 copies was like junk. Like, this is going to get canceled. It's not selling enough copies. 100,000 is not going to cut it. Where now 100,000 would be enough to put you in the, I believe, like the top five.
Yeah, right.
Because the circulation is so far down as compared to what it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the reasons for that. I won't get into any of that. But
yeah.
I always thought, too, I guess I'd see the New Universe books in the 50-cent bin and think, I'm not somebody that enjoys a lot of cosmic comics. I'm more of a street-level Batman, Spider-Man. I mean, I do love Green Lantern, but when I'd see Universe on the title, I'm thinking, space, Marvel space comics, and Marvel space comics are generally not in my wheelhouse.
Well, especially if you're a kid, a young kid, you're like, I don't understand what's going on here. You know, here's Epoch.
Yeah.
Epoch in the Living Tribunal. I'm this guy with like three heads, and he's got hoods on his head, hoods on each head. And I'm like, what? It's like, I want to see Spider-Man and, you know, Green Goblin and, you know, stuff that's, yeah, like you said, it's more grounded in reality, you know.
Nice pull on that one.
It's like the Watcher and all that stuff. And, I mean, I think as close as they got, you know, where I was interested was, like, you know, the Secret Wars type stuff where, like, the Beyonder had, you know, and all that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of those cosmic guys, largely I couldn't understand what was going on. So yeah, I swam around them as well. Were there any other topics on this that you wanted to, you know, on these side brands that you want to talk about, or you want to move on to?
Yeah, I want to hear about your experience with the comic book store.
Okay.
I want to hear about you working at the comic book store.
Yeah, before I do that, I just want to say thanks to Nick Garcia for the suggestion, and keep them coming, man. And that goes for, you know, the rest of our listeners. If you've got stuff that you want us to talk about, We'd love to have it on here, and we love giving props to people. So please contribute. We welcome it. You know, we welcome your input and your feedback, and so we really appreciate it. And before I get too far into this, I just want to give some props out there to the McSauce podcast with Ian, Paul, and Matt, and their support of this show. And they can be found, over at they're using Libsyn, they're on iTunes, they're on Twitter. You got Ian Sharpley he's at the sauce, right? I lost my cheat sheet.
Yes, sir.
And then Paul McGinty is Gint_McSauce. Going off memory here.
Yes.
Thank you. See, I'm not too bad. Okay. So I usually have a little cheat sheet here, and I can't find it because
it's pretty good for memory.
Yeah, and it's really sad because I use Twitter all day every day, just talking to you guys and talking to them, and yeah, it's sad. I'm having a moment here, mental lapse. Anyway, we have Ryan McCormick over at A Fireside Chat. He's also a really big supporter of the show, and I really enjoy his podcast as well. And he's a really entertaining guy, and I relate to him a lot because he doesn't hold back. He tells you how it is, you know. I really dig that show, and he's funny even when he's not trying to be. So he's over.
He had a lot of flattering things to say about this show and you and I the last episode. So I appreciate that. And I want to throw out there too, while we're on the subject, his fiance has a couple of podcasts, Thoughts from the Top of a Ferris Wheel and More, MORE, Than You Can Chew. And if you like his show, if you like our show, check that one out too.
Yeah. That's a good one. And, right there is another example, like how the little community's building, you know, it's great. And,
it's great.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Oh, also, would you like to promote you're going to be cross promoting. You're going to be appearing on his podcast soon.
I was just going to get to that. Yeah. I will be on Ryan McCormick's podcast, at A Fireside Chat. I'll be sharing my Halloween stories, because I've experienced some things that were just tripped me out, and I'll be on the show doing that. And I appreciate Ryan reaching out to, you know, extend the olive branch to have me on a show. So that'll be a lot of fun, because I have his Halloween episode. I think he did back about 3 years ago. I have it on my phone, and I listen to it pretty much if I just want to have a day like at work where I want to de-stress and hear good stories, I re-listen to that a lot, because it's just cool. I like his ability to tell stories on there. It's awesome. So, and I've always been fascinated by, you know, the haunted house thing, and just unexplained things and things that are not, you know, in the normal circumstances every day. So that's really cool. So I was really really honored that he asked me to be on his show and share my experiences. So, yeah, definitely really cool.
So you're,
looking forward
to that. You're two-timing me with another podcast. I see how it is. That's fine. So we can play at this game. I'll find myself another podcast to be on, too. You just wait.
Well, you know, okay, fine. I can make a suggestion to that. You know, there's a podcast called Legions of Lansbury. I'm sure you'd love to be on that. So that is a podcast.
Did you say it's... What's it called? Is it called something about Angela Lansbury?
It's called Legions of Lansbury. It is a fan podcast dedicated to the Murder, She Wrote TV series. And
is that legit?
And Bedknobs and Broomsticks. No, it's not. I just made it up.
Did you make this up, or is it legit?
I just made
it up. Because if it is not legit, it should...
I thought about making it. I thought about doing it as a gag show, doing it as a gag intro, but I decided not to. That's good. Welcome
yeah,
to
you should do that sometime. When you're reading off all these plugs, throw in some bogus one where you're like, and of course, our good friends over at our friends over at the greetings from Meepo's Perfect Strangers podcast. They really take an in-depth look at, I believe we're on season 3, episode 13. If you haven't listened to that episode, it's a really great show.
It's in-depth analysis.
You know, they have an affinity for Mark Lynn Baker that the rest of us just, could only hope to...
It's or who's that guy who's on there? They'll do like a 3-parter just on Tom Bosley.
Tom Bosley.
Yeah, just
no,
on
that's
Tom Bosley.
That's Father Dowling Mystery.
That's it's Family Channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was also the gnome.
This is David. He was. He's David the Gnome.
David the Gnome.
Fantastic show.
Yeah, well, I have bad memories of that show because every time it was on, it was during the day when I should have been at school, and I'd always have, be running a temperature, so I always hated that show because I always felt horrible.
So anytime you watched David the Gnome, you were throwing up into a bucket?
Yes, precisely. Or running a horrible temperature. Here, have some grape Tylenol. Yeah, great, now I got to watch David the Gnome.
Watch out for that fox.
I wish I had that dwarf's hat right now. I'd throw up in it. Come in real handy.
It's like a cone.
Oh, it's a cone, yeah. That's great. It catches everything. I can dump it. Anyway, one last show I wanted to plug that I really like. It's called The Odd Podcast. And they did an episode with the Warlord. They interviewed the Warlord, and I need to get the gentleman's name who runs the show. Next time I'll get the proper cred for that. But check that show out. That one's pretty good. And he actually
now are you referring to Powers of Pain Warlord?
Yes, Powers of Pain Warlord, WWE superstar in the '80s. He had the staff and the mask and all that. He interviewed him. This guy tracked him down in Florida, and he was head of security and HR at a new company that's developing some new healthcare app or something like that. But I will tell you, that was the icing on the cake. The guy did a perfect build up at the first half of his show about his experiences watching wrestling as a kid, and I think he was supposed to go to a show in Minneapolis, and Hulkster was going to be there, and they're all there, and he's waiting to come out, and Hulkster's plane couldn't land because of the weather. He wasn't going to make it, and so they had to land in a different city, and they had Bad News Brown come out and actually run it as a delay tactic. He'd come out and then act like he's going to go to the ring, and then he'd turn around and go back in, and then he'd come back out again, and they were using him to buy time to get some other matches thrown together at the last minute. So they end up having this huge battle royal in place of the Hogan match. And I'm going to get that up on the Twitter page, get that episode up there. Check that out. And he does a lot of, it's called The Odd Podcast because he covers a wide range of, I think he just did Three Stooges recently. I need to listen to that one. But really nice guy, top class. When I first joined Twitter, he sent me an invite to his page or his podcast, and I was like, okay, I'll check this out. And covers a wide range. He even does horror movie retrospectives, and he's got a cool thing going on there. So at any rate, I'll get that information up on there. Let's move on to the
that sounds good.
Yeah, let's move on to the segment of, my tenure working in a comic store in Watertown, New York. It was a job that I was not prepared for what awaited me at that job. And
I don't want to interrupt you here, but
too late.
Let's set the scene. So this is circa what, 99?
No.
Is this 98, 99?
No. It's 2000. Summer of 2000.
Okay. Well, it's not like I was off my 10 years. I was off my 1 year.
Hey, there's a lot to happen. I wasn't
things
even in high school.
Things were different.
Yeah, things were different.
When you were hired, How did it come to be? Were you a regular customer at the store?
I was not a regular customer, but I was somewhat, I guess you could say, periodic customer. And because he had a store up in the mall, and it went in place of the old Comics Plus when they left. He took it place, and it was called Sanctuary Comics, up in the mall in the same exact building. And I had actually purchased a land speeder because he used to sell toys in the back, and he would sell like vintage toys. He started out doing that when he was in the mall, and I bought a land speeder there, which is pretty cool. Gave me a good deal on it, and it was funny because he'd wear a tie. He's the first guy I've ever seen at a comic store would wear a tie, and I think it's because he's at the mall and he see a lot of different traffic. So he, you know, was kind of like he was dressed like he's getting his high school senior photo taken in 1986. He's wearing a tie with jeans and sneakers, hair perfectly combed, and you know, and so that was you know, I was like, huh, the name's different here. Must be, sure enough, different owners and everything. And I remember he had on the wall, he had the Spider-Man wedding issue where he married Mary Jane. It had the big Spider-Man symbol in a heart shape. And he had some really nice comics up on the wall, like old ones, vintage ones. And, I, you know, looking at the prices, I'm like, yeah, these are all out of my league. But, he ended up.
Can I add really quick?
Sure.
That comic, the one you were just talking about, that wedding issue, I wanted that so bad.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
So bad for the longest time. And yeah. Then I actually got it, I believe it was the day before I got married. I found it in an antique shop and I bought it for $3.
$3. Wow.
$3. It was, I think it had a $10 or $15 price tag on it. But this antique shop, it was a coin shop. And coins, mostly like coins and stamps and stuff. The people were not going in there for comics. So this guy could not give these comics away. And he was, don't pay attention to those price tags on there. I'll make you a deal on whatever you want.
That's how you do business. Yep.
He would have basically gave me a bunch of other comics, but I didn't. That was the only one I wanted.
Yeah. Wow, that's excellent. Yeah, you have a knack for finding those opportunities. You're kind of like a Ferengi trader, Jody.
I get them a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, whether it be yogurt tickets or gold press latinum, whatever it takes, right?
Yogurt. Yogurt tickets.
You got to eat this M&M yogurt.
That. We covered that on more like the first or
I know,
episode.
But it's
my free movie tickets via yogurt package scam.
You get diabetes but you got free tickets out of the deal.
Yeah, they had to cut off two toes this week, but you know what? I still got to go see that terrible Ghostbusters movie, so I'm good.
Oh man, excellent trade off. I got the best end of the deal on this one.
I'm laughing all the way to the dialysis machine.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. But yeah, that comic store ended up moving to the bottom floor of an old Woolworth building. That was funny because it used to be a clothing store, and Jason knows the name of the clothing store it used to be when Woolworth was there, and I think it was like Deb or something like that. And I remember that clothing store had these clothes hangers that were in a circle. But they were like really like artistic 80s style, and they're, you know, I always thought it was weird. But anyway, he moved in there, and it was a lot of space. I mean, it was huge, and I think the rent was pretty cheap. And because at the mall, they kept jacking his rent up every month, like exorbitant increases every month, and making up reasons why they're doing it, and blah, blah, blah. So he ended up moving down there, and I got a job at Sanctuary Comics. And it was a really cool cool digs because he had a stereo system set up in there. It was in like a closet, so all his CDs and everything and his like VHS, because he didn't have a DVD player, but his VHS was in there, and there was a TV there, so all of his audio video stuff was run out of that little shack booth thing. So he'd let me bring in my own stuff, and I'd run the store. I'd be there, and he'd go, all right, I'll come back around 9. We'll, you know, get to count the register, stuff like that, you know. And I did that, and I remember this one time, there was a guy that came in, and he's wearing a trench coat. And there was an adult section. I already knew how this was going to go down. And Herb had told me when I started working there, he goes, okay, make sure, like, I probably shouldn't have said his name. Make sure that they're not in there more than 10 minutes. And then you got to kick them out. And so this guy comes in wearing a trench coat, and he's got, like, boils all over his face. His face looks like the planet Mercury. Okay, it's bad. And he's got long, dirty fingernails. And he goes into the adult section, and he's not in there very long. He actually comes out with some books. I didn't want to touch him. I don't want to touch the books. I didn't want to take any money from him. And so I rang him up, and he got that, and I think he got, like, some Lady Death comics. You know, it was clear what he was after. So
he was planning his evening.
Yeah, he's planning his evening. Some people use a TV guide. Some people use comic books. And so he went ahead and, like, I treated it like I was at a casino. Like, sir, I cannot take the money from you. You're gonna have to lay it on the table, because
we'll lay it on the table, sir. I cannot take the money directly from you. You have to lay it out.
Yes. It's like, it's. So, I think, you can just sit right there. Okay, that's good. And, he had exact change, so I didn't have to worry about getting him anything. And I waited till he left, and then I kind of had to use something to, I think I used, like, a Pokemon card to scrape him off the counter into the till. And that was really gross. And then I had another incident where, it was an incident. I came in one day and Herb was there because I would take over for him. He would work most of the day and I worked the night shift. And he had this theory about Darth Maul. Because remember, episode 1 had come out, but episode 2 obviously wasn't out yet. And he goes, so I got this theory that the Darth Maul that got killed off, that's just a clone. Because the next movie's going to be called The Clone Wars. And there's going to be like more Darth Maul. That was just a decoy. So he's going to be in the next movie because, you know, them killing him off that early, he's a major character. So they're not going to mess that up. He's just a clone. That's my theory. And he had this like crazy theory that all of the Jedis were clones of real Jedis. And I remember the Darth Maul thing and I'm thinking, this makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, how wrong he was. I mean, it was crazy. And, like, you know, Qui-Gon was a clone, and Darth Maul was a clone, and he had this whole storyboard worked up in his head about episode 2 was going to be about. But, yeah, so it was an entertaining place to work, and we used to see Pokemon cards were huge. They were massive. And he had an entire binder of how to identify counterfeit Pokemon cards, because they'd have cards that had those like holographic effects. They're like the rare cards, like the Charizard or whatever. And here's how you can tell when it's been done with an inkjet printer. And, you know, it looks kind of real from first glance, but make sure you look at it. And, you know, and he's like, he had me do that. And I never dealt with anything fake. In fact, he was the one that actually accidentally bought some fake Pokemon cards. So that's how he actually acquired them. And we would host Pokemon tournaments there. And there was this one guy that was probably my age. And you and I went to high school with this guy. And he was a big, big fat guy. And he'd always wearing a trench coat or like a big leather jacket. And he goes in there and he's doing his Pokemon tournament. They would set it up in the hallway across from like where Radio Shack or where that train club is. Right. And there was a guy that used to sell sports cards out, and the guy smoked a lot and was mad at me because I got my Steve Young card back. Herb would set the tournament out there in the hallway, so that way it's not in his building and he's not responsible for the kids, and I don't blame him. And so this kid who was at least, you know, 15, you know, I'd probably say about 10 years older than everybody else at the tournament, he'd win the tournament because he'd outsmart these kids. And I remember he said to one of these kids, he goes, man, what's the matter with you? Did your parents beat you with an ugly stick or something? And he was saying like terrible things like that to these kids. And like the parents would drop these kids off, like the dad would drop the kid off, and then okay, here's $150 here. That should keep you busy for 3 hours, and then the mom would show up. She's like, "Have you seen my son? Do you know where he is?" I go, "Lady, you're gonna have to go out in the hallway. I'm not responsible for them. He's probably out there if he's anywhere." And it was like, their parents would give them wads of cash to go spend on Pokemon cards. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, and they're like divorced parents and be like, you know, the parents would pick, the other parent would pick the kid up, and then the dad would come back and, "Hey, where's my son? I don't know where he is. I'm responsible for him." And I'm like, "I don't know." You know, it's not my station to be watching your kid. It's not in my job description. And so, we had another incident where a kid came in and the kid farted really loud. I mean, it was bad and it stunk up the whole store, and we had to like air the place out and everything. And there was a fight, there was a fist fight, and we had to get the kid like, "Hey, you guys want to fight? Go out in the hallway." And, Jody, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Yes, I'm enjoying the story. No, I'm here. Go ahead.
And so, this kid, he always had like these tan shorts on. He's kind of dressed like Higgins from Magnum PI, and he had like this really he had this messed up hair, and I'm not gonna say his name, but it doesn't matter. His name was Britton. So I was like, oh wow, it's funny. He's named after England, and it's kind of funny. So. I remember, this lady came in, and there was a one-way street that ran along the back side of that parking lot, and there was a parking garage and all that stuff. Remember that, Jody? The old Woolworth had the big parking.
Still there,
and probably seismically unstable, but, because it was in 1986. Anyway, so this lady comes in, she's covered in blood. I'm like, and Herb was there too, and it's like, what's going on? What happened? I was going down someone was coming down the one-way street, because it was a one-way street. She hit him head on. They hit her head on.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we had to call in. She's like, "Can I use your phone?" And like, there were cell phones weren't really that commonplace yet. And so, yeah, we had to call an ambulance and everything. And I mean, it was a wild ride, man, just working there. And we had one kid that would come in, and we went to high school with this guy. I won't say his name. And he would come in and read the comic books, and he would ruffle them all up and then put them back. And he was really hyper, and he was tall, skinny, had blonde hair and glasses. And you know who I'm talking about, Jody. And he,
yes.
Yeah. And so he'd come up to the owner. He'd go, "Let me ask you a question, Herb." "Yeah, what?" "What is the perfect crime?" "The one that you get away with?" "No, wrong. Justin, what is the perfect crime?" "Time's up." Like that. And then he never told us what the perfect crime was. And
he was testing you. You know what? If he just left after that, maybe he committed it. The perfect crime is stealing 90s comics that nobody's going to miss.
Yeah. I got my copy of, Battle Chasers was hot at the time, but, he probably stole, like, a copy of Macabre or something like that from the 25-cent bin, or Captain Carrot or whoever. They had those Amalgam comics that were just pieces of crap.
I own a lot of those. I like those. They're not good now, but I thought they were great at the time.
Oh, boy, yeah. I had
now. Did you find anything in the 50-cent bin that should not have been in the 50-cent bin?
Oh yes. You know what I found in the 50-cent bin? It was Marvel Secret Wars, the first appearance of the black suit Spider-Man in very fine condition.
Yeah, that probably shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, and I also found a bunch of Marvel Comics Presents that really aren't 50-cent. They're probably a couple bucks each. They had a bunch of Spawn number ones.
Those should be in there.
Well, there was a bunch of...
Did you tell them about this and, like, remove them, or did you take advantage of it? Just say, "I found these in there for 50 cents. I'm buying them."
He had them in there. I bought them for that. He knew exactly what he had.
Oh.
And because at that time, people were after... people were after it because Ultimate Spider-Man had just come out. So everybody was hot and heavy over, like, the new stuff. They didn't care about old stuff. Because if you remember, he didn't carry a lot of back-issue stuff. He was always interested in the latest and greatest stuff that's going to keep flying off the shelf. And he had, I remember, Ultimate Spider-Man. And I'm kicking myself because I should have bought it. But, like, as I explained last episode, I was not really following Spider-Man. I could care less. And I figured, what's the difference? And Thunderbolts was in full swing, and I wanted to get in on that because that was Mark Bagley doing that, but I'd never bought any of those. I remember he let me as an employee have Justin's pick, like, for a trade, or Justin's pick of the month for standard, yes, regular comic book
up on the wall. There was
some, yep. Gotham by Gaslight is what I picked.
Employee's pick, and you had your own pick as well.
Yes, Gotham by Gaslight I had up there because it's a great trade. And I had that up there. And I remember Dragon Ball Z was, like, really hot and heavy in the States. And he had a ton of Dragon Ball Z, Irwin Toys Dragon Ball Z figures that were there. And, like, you have a lot of, like, the army guys come in and they love Dragon Ball Z because they're from, like, other parts of the country. And they're, so I had a Trunks VHS. There was a character named Trunks on Dragon Ball Z, and I had that playing on there, and they're like, oh, this is great, you know, and the Trunks Saga parts 1 and 2. And he had a Pink Floyd The Wall concert that he put on there, which I really liked. And the owner was really into, like, the European, like, what do you want to call it? Not synth music, but like new wave music. And he had, like, The Cure on there. And then there was this band he liked called Sig Sig Sputnik. And he's like, yeah, I got a copy of 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 their first album. And, you know, because it was like, I mean, the internet was in its infancy, really, for a lot of us. And they didn't really have, like, you know, MP3s weren't full swing. You know, it was like Napster. It was about it. And, yeah, he kept talking about Sig Sig Sputnik. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Fine. Whatever wanks your crank. and so that was a crazy place and to work because there was weird stuff that just happened. And he didn't have a bathroom, public bathroom there. And he had to keep telling people, hey, there's no public bathroom. And it was like, he goes, no, I don't want you to read comic books. I want, you know, he was laying down the ground rules when I was working there. He's like, you know, just make sure you get stuff done. And he had a camera in there. He could see everything. He taped the entire, every day he was taped so he could see if people were stealing or whatever, if his employees were screwing around or whatever. And so I was bagging and boarding and organizing, and I was like, it was perfect for me because, you know, just running the register of someone to come in. And we did, like, hey, do you guys have any White Dwarf comics? I'm like, what the frig is White Dwarf or Red Dwarf, whatever it was. And I'll have to get back to you on that. And then, you know, I had this other guy come in, and he always wanted Frank Miller stuff. You know, he wanted Frank Miller comics. And, you know, which I, like I said, I wasn't following this stuff. And so it was like, it was kind of funny because I knew all about the older stuff, but I didn't know anything about the stuff that was coming out besides Battle Chasers. Or I think I had, Kiss Psycho Circus was I subscribed to that, which I
was. Oh, you were a big fan of that book.
Yeah.
Big fan of that book.
The story was terrible. I liked the art, though. The art was good. Because of the whole Todd McFarlane Spider-Man connection.
How long did you end up working there for?
I only ended up working there for the summer, actually, because I got a job. Actually, I think I only worked at Herb's for two, like, maybe another month. It's only a month, at least. Because then I got a job at Cracker Barrel. And I was working so many hours at Cracker Barrel. He claims that I forgot to show up to work a few days. I don't believe that. Because I made sure they scheduled around the days he wanted me to work. So I was working two jobs.
Oh, that's right. He wanted you to work on weekends. And that's where they wanted you at Cracker Barrel at the same time. I remember that. Yep. I forgot all about it.
Yep. He did me a huge favor. Because I was a workhorse, man. I wanted to work as much as I could to make more money. And I liked working for him. It was a cool gig, you know? And, but, you know, in his defense, I will say Cracker Barrel probably did schedule me pencil me in over the shifts he wanted me to work. And so he goes, you know what, you're making more money there, and, you know, you're not doing yourself any favors, you know, spending all your money from here on comic books. So he ended up having his girlfriend work there, which is fine, because I think they ended up getting married, and then they moved into that house that they're in now that they've been in for, like, you know, 12 years or whatever. And it's like, the comics I was reading at that point was, like, Battle Chasers, and Warlands was another comic that I read, which isn't worth anything now, but I liked it at the time because it was, like, medieval stuff. But then I found some Marvel Secret Wars 2 comics in the 50-cent bin, which they're not that great, but at least it's old stuff. And, I was really heavy into Dragon Ball Z and, you know, that kind of stuff, and Battle Chasers, and I wasn't reading a lot of mainstream comic books.
That kind of brings us into, you know, you said it was 2000. You're kind of going right into it tonight. What in the 2000s up till now? What kind of stuff have you enjoyed? What is your perception of modern comic books?
Well, my perception of modern comic books would be, well, since it's 2016 now, I would think that anything post 2010. I mean, because think about it. You know, DC didn't have New 52, and it was like, I think by at that time, wasn't Green Lantern doing the Blackest Night or Darkest Night, whatever it is, that storyline.
When this, like 2010?
Well, I meant within 2010. Well, when was that? When was the Green Lantern storyline, Blackest Night? When was that?
With the zombies and stuff.
Yeah, when did that happen?
That was 2009,
yeah, right.
2010.
Right. So I would think anything prior or post that would be modern in my mind, as far as my own experience reading comic books, because that's a prior decade. You know what I mean? So.
Well, sure, but we're for argument's sake, we're covering 2000 to current.
Yeah, I mean,
when I say modern, right. I was just going with that. But I know what you're saying. Yeah,
well, because
stuff from 2001 is not current. It's 15 years old.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I guess, you know, I really didn't start picking up comics and reading them again until about 2000.
You had a lull. You were out of the loop after you left the store.
10 years.
It was only Psycho Circus books for you.
Well, and those got canceled. Those got canceled. Oh, and
yeah.
I will take that back. I was reading Nightwing as well, so Nightwing was in there. I was still getting those, and there's this really crappy book. I started reading some of the Image stuff, and maybe it wasn't Image. There were some really crappy titles I was getting. Like there was this book called Coven, and it was crap. And there was another one, I don't even remember the name of it. It was crap too. And it was like the Battle Chasers thing really disappointed me, because the artist or the writer wasn't keeping up with the demand. He only came out with, I think it was like 5 or 6 issues, and then he was like, he took a break or something, a sabbatical. And then he never came back. He never wrote any more comic books. And I actually liked that series.
Was that Joe Madureira?
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, it's that guy.
The one that did Battle Chasers?
Yeah.
He went on to, because he did Uncanny X-Men before that. He has a very sort of manga sort of style.
Yes, yes, exactly.
To his work. Because I have all of his Uncanny X-Men stuff. I was not really a big fan of his, but I have all those issues.
Yeah.
And he actually left comics to go do design work for, like, video games and stuff. And just recently, the last, I don't know, maybe 5, 6 years, he has come back and done just kind of, I think, variant covers and just cover work and stuff. He's not a guy, like you said, he's not somebody who's really that persistent, so he doesn't do monthly books all that much, but
right.
He is back in the fold, but that's where he went with this video game design for quite a few years.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think you were reading like Gen 13 and
that would be more 90s stuff.
Well, yeah.
But the 2000s, for me, there is a lot, as much as we've poo-pooed the 80s stuff and the 90s stuff, the 2000s stuff is, for my money, probably the best written book. There's a lot of stuff. I actually bowed out from about 2001. I was literally spending about, and this was when books were probably about $2.50 a week.
That's when the big price hike happened.
Yeah. They were like $2, $2.50.
That's why I quit doing it.
I'd still be spending like $40 a week. And I remember one day I got home and I had a stack of like 20 books, and there was like, out of the 20 books, there was like three of them that I actually wanted to read. And I'm looking through them and I go, what are you doing with yourself? You don't even like any of this stuff. I'm like, yeah, you need to stop buying this crap. You don't even like these. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Just stop buying them.
It's a Aquaman snow globe, your height of your hubris or whatever.
Exactly. That was the height of my hubris. So I stopped buying them. I just wasn't enjoying it and didn't really like what was coming out, and stopped buying for a couple of years, and eventually started again just buying actually newsstand copies of, it's actually right after Hush. So this was like 04. It was right after Hush had just finished up, and it was Batman. I believe the storyline was called Mad City, and it was Brian Azzarello and I think Eduardo Barreto, I think the guy's name. It's the same guys that work on the 100 Bullets series, and they did a Batman story, and the covers were pretty neat, and started buying them on the newsstand, and of course, you know, buy Batman monthly, and then I started buying JSA monthly, and...
Oh, yeah, the JSA stuff.
Before you knew it, it was 04, and they had Green Lantern Rebirth, and...
Yeah, I remember Jason had those. Jason was reading those.
Actually, I will say, yeah, those are good. The thing that really kickstarted, I was buying stuff anyways, but Identity Crisis came out in 2004, and that was a story that I was really, 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 really enjoyed by Brad Meltzer and Ed Benes, I think those worked for that. And that was a great story right up until issue 7. Some pretty different material in there, different stuff that they were working on that I guess was just different as far as DC goes. It was taking on probably a darker tone to it, which would really kind of set the tone for the DC universe right up until now, including New 52, but I really enjoyed a lot of the 2000s between, Identity Crisis, Infinite Crisis, it was okay. Things like Blackest Night, I really, really enjoyed those books. And even things from the other side of I have a ton of DC stuff from the 2000s that I was buying whatever I could get my hands on, because they were really doing a very good job at the time of cross-promoting everything. Everything kind of fit together they had a lot of cross-company crossovers, like the OMAC Project and Villains United. Things that were tying a lot of different titles together, which would make you want to read everything, and it didn't seem like a chore. I really enjoyed the 2000s, and it wasn't just DC either. As far as Marvel goes,
Marvel had the Avengers Disassembled. Did you read any of the Avengers Disassembled stuff? Or
yes,
that was really good.
You know what? Until Avengers Disassembled, I really had never read Avengers before.
Yeah,
but that looked really important. I remember leafing through it and seeing Avengers Mansion blow up like on page 3.
Yeah,
and yeah, so I was in. And
that stuff's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah, it's excellent story.
And that, I don't know if you've ever read this, but that kind of went into Bendis' new Avengers run, where they added, you know, they start over Avengers number one, new Avengers number one, with Spider-Man's on the team and Iron Man, and they kind of went back to a, you know, for years, Avengers kind of had a lot of scrubs on the team.
Right.
A lot of, you know, Jack of Hearts guys. Like that.
I have that miniseries. It's terrible.
A lot of, like, real, like, Jack of Hearts, or there's another guy, his name's, like, Triathlon.
Oh, my gosh.
Or they have some real...
That's rough.
Real winners.
Yeah.
On the Avengers. And they
Of the Charlie 27 caliber.
Yeah, like real D-level. Tigra's like B-list compared to the rest of them, but
yeah,
real lower card wrestlers, or not wrestlers, superheroes. And with Avengers Disassembled, they got away from that and were
right.
Kind of took the Grant Morrison JLA approach to say, this is the Avengers. You need to have your top heroes on this, not Jack of Hearts or
I'm bad with
the bad Marvel heroes.
That guy has no business being associated with the Avengers at all.
Yes. This is Avengers. They are top-notch heroes. It's the premier team. You need to have premier members. So they did away with that.
Jeez.
And new Avengers had Iron Man and Spider-Man, who had never been on the Avengers until that point. And,
well, he would do a guest. He was in Avengers a little bit in the 90s, I thought, as like a guest. He was a temporary stand-in for somebody.
Yeah, he lived in New York City, so he would always help him out. But
yeah.
I think they would always say, oh, he's too busy. He can't do it. He's too busy. Which is true. He's in four books and Spider-Man Unlimited. And
yeah.
But in this book, he's on the team, and you had guys, I believe Luke Cage was on the team.
Oh,
it was
boy.
All A and A-minus heroes that joined the new Avengers. And it was Spider-Woman. And it was a great book. It's a really good book. I had that entire run. And those are at least the first, I don't know, 20, probably 2 years worth of books are all really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
And Bendis's run on, some people don't really care for it, but Bendis's run on Daredevil are some of my favorite comics.
Wasn't Kevin Smith, he was doing Daredevil in the 2000s, right?
He did that. That was in 97. That was part of the Marvel Knights line.
Gotcha.
And I will tell you, I have a lot of those issues, too. I have that almost the entire run of those Daredevil comics. And I went back probably within the last 5 years and reread some of those. I reread all of the Kevin Smith Daredevil issues. Not good. Not good.
Oh, boy.
In retrospect.
Because I remember at the time people were really sopping it up with a biscuit. So like, oh, these are fantastic.
Yes. And in retrospect, to go back and read them, they're very 90s. And actually, just to go back and reread them after reading Bendis's run or Ed Brubaker's run, which are more of a real world kind of like a crime comic.
Sure.
They are like light years away from each other. The Bendis stuff and the Brubaker stuff is much, much better.
Wow.
I don't know. Have you ever read any of those? Like the Bendis Daredevil stuff?
No. I've hardly read any Daredevil at all. The only Daredevil I've actually read are the Daredevil stuff from the late 70s, early 80s.
Yep.
The
Frank Miller stuff.
Yep, which I actually like. I actually love those. So,
it's good stuff.
I gave those away to a friend of mine. I gave those to Rob Miller, one of my buddies here in Tri-Cities. And shout out, Rob. There you go. He's a big Daredevil fan, so I gave those to him. And I like the art in them, and the inks were good. I like the old, kind of like the old comics really popped. When he started getting to the modern age stuff like that, and especially like Avengers Disassembled, a lot of those comic books are, they're so dark, like the imagery, and the storylines are really good, but they don't pop, like the, you know, it doesn't jump off the page, but at least the story's good, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, because obviously the more modern stuff, it's not going to be very bright, you know.
I will say, like, the Bendis and Alex Maleev does most of the art for those Daredevil books. The stories are fantastic, but it is a very dark tone and a very dark looking book.
Yeah,
it's a different artistic style as compared to what you're talking about.
Yeah, and
for people who haven't read that book before, if you watch the Netflix show, a lot of the stories that they based the show off of were from these books. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna shut the studio doors real fast, Jody. So keep us rolling.
Sure.
Okay.
So, other things I will say that I'm trying to think. A lot of the Marvel stuff I didn't really. I'm trying to think of other things I enjoyed. Oh, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Brubaker's run on Captain America in the 2000s. A nice long run.
All right.
On the Captain America books. Did you ever happen to read those?
No. Captain America, my stuff's really sparse.
As far as the 2000s go, like you already said, you didn't really read a ton of stuff in the 2000s. You don't own a lot of Captain America stuff?
Oh, I do now because remember how I was talking about the four boxes of comics I got from Crystal's cousin? A ton of that stuff is in there. And so I need to go through and sort it all, and then I'm going to start reading more of it. Because I read the Avengers Disassembled stuff, and I really was like, wow, I should have been reading this back in the day. And
it's really good.
I do have the comics. I just need to get caught up on them.
And did you say, I kind of caught you off, I apologize.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Did you say there was some Captain America stuff from that period in there, too?
Yeah, there's actually there's a hodgepodge of several different titles that were going on in that time period. It was kind of crazy because the guy that he got them from, he had such a wide range of comics that he was reading in that time period. I mean, there's X-Men stuff, like Ultimate X-Men stuff in there. There's, you know, there's a lot of... Oh, yeah, there's so much of it. I need to go through it and actually categorize it and then see what issues are there, what's missing, and, you know, maybe fill in the gaps. Yeah.
I would say, for my money, it was almost like I was buying and reading a lot of stuff. Like 05, 06, both companies were really firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, between Identity Crisis and Infinite Crisis, which is not quite as good, and the Sinestro Corps War, that's around like 06. This is all stuff from DC, which were all good to really, really good stories. Even over in Marvel, you had like Civil War, and as far as crossovers go, that's one of the best crossovers. I'm not sure if you've ever read it or not, but that's a really good crossover, especially as far as Marvel goes. It's one of their better crossovers.
I've read a few issues of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the thing was that period was so. This was really, really good, and what actually ended up happening, and this especially with Marvel, was Civil War was so successful that they've tried to duplicate it every year.
Right.
Between, you know, the next year was the Secret Invasion storyline where some of the heroes were Skrulls. That one's not bad either, but, you know, even by like 2011, which was Fear Itself, terrible storyline, or Avengers versus X-Men, which was, I think, 2012, 2013, not good. And every year they're just trying to do something else, and it's, you know, at this point I think most people are kind of fatigued and they're sick of the big crossover. But they're maybe not sick of the crossover so much, they're sick of the unfulfilled promises from a crossover.
Right.
And by that I mean where they, you know, they have all these, oh, this is going to be a big crossover, this is going to be a big deal. And then you read it, and it's not a big deal, or it just goes into the next thing, and it's kind of an endless cycle.
Yeah, it's...
And for me, like with DC, that's with their new 52 and with a lot of unfulfilled potential, that's kind of where my stopping point was, and I have not bought a DC comic in... I guess I bought a couple spatterings of issues here and there, but largely the last probably 2 or 3 years, I have not really bought much DC comics.
Well, that's the crazy thing is Jason. He actually, my brother, he never stopped. Man, he has never let up. He's always just bought Batman's. Like he at least kept up on the Batman stuff, and you know it. He gave me some, I think it was back in 2009, he gave me, or maybe, no, it was like 2011, so we're in this decade at this point, with, he gave me some Suicide Squad comic books, and there was one where Deathstroke was masquerading as Batman, and that one was really good, I liked that, because he had some doubles. And I don't know why he had duplicate issues. Must be he forgot he had them and bought doubles. I don't know, but he gave those to me and gave me a big stack of comic books to take back with me to Washington. And it was that same year that we went down to the comic store in Oswego and then the comic store in Bullseye Comics down there in Syracuse. And
yeah, that was a lot of fun. Oh my gosh.
Remember?
Any road trip involving comics is the best.
Well, you remember, I think it was after we left there, I got going on this spring-loaded Loki bobblehead being overtaxed, which I won't get into the subject matter of the joke, but it was one of those things where you start with an inch and you end up with this huge thing, and that by far had to have been probably the hardest I've ever made you guys laugh in the car, and me along with you, because... We had to stop at like a Babies R Us to pick up some clothes or something like that afterwards. And I remember Donaldson was sitting in the front seat and Jason was driving and Jason's like trying not to hit something. Maybe it was, did you drive or was it Jason driving?
No, our friend Jeff Donaldson. And we all rode down in his minivan.
Oh, that's right. And he was laughing so hard. He's like, I got to pull over. And
his SUV, not his minivan, excuse me. But we were dying.
Oh my gosh. And I said, yeah, I'm not going to repeat it, but his face was beat red. It was so funny. I mean, we're just laughing so hard. And
we were on our way to see Green Lantern at the local dirt mall.
I wasn't there for that. That was a,
you went with us to see Green Lantern. I'm pretty sure you were with us. It was the same time.
No, I saw Green Lantern over here in Washington. I don't think I watched it with you guys over there. So it was just a comic trip.
I thought you did, but maybe not. Maybe we made two trips.
You probably made a couple, because I went down and just got comic books is what I did. And then I think I dropped about $70 on out of the 50-cent bin. And
you went nuts. You went banana. You were loading up, but hey.
Well, because it's the East Coast, man.
Stuff, you gotta get it.
Well, that's the thing. It's the East Coast, and things are. It's an older part of the country. Everybody here is like, oh, out with the old and with the new. They just throw them in the garbage. If they can't sell them, they just throw them out. There's nothing old here. It's like Beverly Hills compared to over there, and it's like, I mean, I could go on a big tangent about that, and I won't. But so when I was there at the comic store, I'm like, this is great. I'm getting like a bunch of like Justice League Europe and that kind of stuff, and I got a huge stack of those because I love the 80s DC stuff, and I bought some Iron Man, and I remember when I was there in 2013, it was so hot, and we were upstairs at Bullseye Comics, and the guy that runs the place, he was like, okay, I'm gonna go turn on the air conditioning units because it's so hot in here. I was sweating bullets because I needed a haircut, and I had this huge, my hair, when it gets long and it's humid like that, I get an afro. You know what it looks like. It's like the Frodo Baggins afro. Yeah. And it looks like that right now, as a matter of fact. And it gets very curly. Right. It's kind of like old lady hair. And old lady, like, perm hair. And so I was so hot in there. And I bought a bunch of those Superman, those die-cut covers for the Reign of Superman. Reign of Superman comics. And then I got some more $2 or $3 an issue Iron Man comics from the 90s that I wanted, because I always thought those were pretty good. So I bought a bunch of those. But yeah, it was, those are good times, man. Good, cool trips. And yeah, because the last time when I was in New York, last October, it's been a year already, Jody. It's crazy.
I know.
Jason took me to that, I think it's Read the Book, Play the Game, or whatever it's called. It's that comic store that's in the Salmon Run Mall there.
Yes.
And
they had it right. That's the name of the place.
They had those Infinity Gauntlet banks there, which were kind of neat. Just the gauntlet there, and those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes. But I was able to pick up an episode or an issue of Star Wars, because remember when they relaunched of Star Wars, I was actually able to pick up a copy. I think it was issue 6 that I did not have. I couldn't, the comic store, which I still have a pull box for, likes to miss issues. I'm like, it's kind of like the whole Jerry Seinfeld thing at the rental car agency. The most important part of the reservation is the holding. Okay. If you're going to have a pull box, I have it for a reason, so I don't miss the issues. We have very limited print runs these days. Please make sure I have a comic in there. I've taken the opportunity to do consistent business with a comic store. Put the issues in the pull box. And they dropped the ball on this, and I was able to get the issue with Obi-Wan, which is cool because it goes back to his where his house in Tatooine was, like his it was the out past the Dune Sea or wherever he lived or wherever it was. It was pretty cool. And so I was able to pick that up, and I was able to make sure it didn't get banged up too much in my luggage. But I kind of miss the comic stores that have old comics, you know what I mean? From like 80s and 90s. It's getting harder and harder to find those. And
I always used to judge a good comic book store versus a bad one by what they had for back issues. And I would say, oh, they don't even have any back issues. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I've kind of learned over time. I do agree with you. I've kind of learned over time that maybe it's not the store's fault. If they've only been open a couple of years or a year, like, how you accumulate that stuff? Well, you have to be open a while, you know?
Sure.
But also on top of that, people do not buy back issues anymore.
No. It's not.
And if you have the back issues, if you're a store, you have a tendency to probably overprice them. And people are not buying back issues. Once they are off the new comic section, they get bagged and boarded and thrown into a long box, they're never heard from again. People are not generally interested in going back and buying that stuff.
Well, because largely it's a waste of money and time.
It's out of mind.
It's a waste of money and time. You're chasing your tail because, you know, those older storylines, there's so many different comics, there's so many crossovers, so many, you know, trying to buy back issues, it's kind of a waste of money at this point because, it's like some of these people will be like, well, they're old enough where we can start charging more than they're worth, and it's just not, it's not a good use of your resources and time, unless you can get them as a lot on eBay or get them for cheap, like, really wheel and deal with someone and say, hey, you got the whole run here, let me just have them for this. Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
Well, a lot of it is, too, just availability. If it's something older, you could probably buy it digitally if you wanted to. If that's your forte, you could buy it digitally. For myself, personally, our shop the one that you were just talking about, periodically, maybe two or three times a year, has a sale where all of their back issues that are like $6 and under are $1.
Yeah.
So I'll go in there and be like, great, let's see what I can dig up.
Yeah.
And myself, if I find something I'm interested, this is not the store's fault by any means, but if I find something I'm interested in, and say it's a miniseries, and it's a 5-issue miniseries, and I find issues 1, 2, 3, and 5, and I don't find issue 4, I'll have a tendency to not buy it unless I can buy the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you, because I don't want any
gaps. I could go and find issue 4 and pay full price for that someplace or online.
Yeah.
But I'm lazy. I'll be honest, I'm lazy. I don't want to put in the effort to hunt it down and buy it and then have it shipped to me. It's not worth it.
I'm
finding, it's not worth it. If I didn't buy it the first time around, I probably didn't care enough to buy it the second time around unless I could buy the entire thing.
Yeah, so it's not cost-effective.
That's part of it, too, is not having a... I guess one of the main differences between now as opposed to the 90s or definitely the 80s, those comics in that era had the tendency to have more of a 1 or 2 issue story arc where you could, you know, fill in the blanks yourself or pick up an issue and get the whole story. And they don't do that anymore.
Right.
Most comic books are run 3, 4, and often like 6-issue arcs. And if you don't buy it from the first part of that, then you're out of the loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And depending on your company, they don't always make it easy to get caught up on things. Marvel does a great job. I'm really always trying to champion that first issue that first page of recap that they have in their comics. I've always thought that that's kind of a good idea.
Oh, sure.
They've been doing that the last 10, 12 years, something like that. Because if you are picking up something random and you want to check it out, then it does give you an avenue to kind of follow what's going on.
Yeah, as opposed to, generally speaking, go ahead. We're going to be running out of time here pretty quick because we're at the minute, hour 43.
Yeah, we better put a ball on this very quickly, but... We're running late again tonight.
We did it again, Jody.
I know. I was just considering that. I'm like, I think we're getting kind of late again here. I mean, hey, we're talking. We're having a good time. So we're having a good time. I hope the listeners enjoy it as well. But
yeah.
But no, they tend to run along. You know what, to be honest with you, I lost my train of thought, so go ahead.
No, I mean...
I don't remember where I was going.
Well, we were kind of talking about the fact that they used to do maybe a 6-page recap of the prior issue, so if you're just randomly picking up a comic book, you know, you can kind of jump in.
Yeah.
And as opposed to these very annoying letterboxes that, you know, editors note, see issue 121... or Avengers 121 or something like that. It's like, who in their right mind is going to go back and try and find that? Are you kidding me? Even when it was originally published, who's going to take the time to do that? Nobody. So doing the 6-page recap is better.
Even in Marvel's current, the way they currently do it with that first page recap, even if it's a book I read monthly, I still appreciate it because if you read a lot of comics or... again, if you're just picking something up on the fly or you're reading a lot of books, I like having that 1-issue recap or brief recap so you can say, okay, where are we at here?
No, that's good.
Okay, we're dealing with this. So I remember where we're at. Okay, let's go ahead and turn the page and get back into it.
Yeah,
okay.
They took that from network television.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, they got that from network TV. You know, that's where they kind of got that idea from. So, I think we did a really good job of covering Modern Age and covering my tenure at a comic store.
Well, I hope so. I hope that the last, you know, we didn't talk even, I will say very, very briefly that comics in 2016, at least from the big two perspective, not their best stuff. Not their best stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of gimmicks yeah. and a lot of headline, trying to grab headlines by doing, what's the word I'm looking for here? By trying to just, I won't say outlandish things, but just,
yeah.
They seem desperate for attention.
Yeah.
It's like the kid that shaves all his hair off at school because he, or dyes it purple because they're trying to get somebody to notice them. I feel like that's where comics are at.
It's very,
especially Marvel.
Yeah. It's a very Conrad Saturn era of comics right now. That's an inside joke, people.
Local boy Conrad Saturn.
Yeah, we're
not his actual name.
His name has been changed to protect the guilty. Anyway, yeah, not a good idea to get your grandmother's razor and cut chunks out of your hair, and then, you know, because she's gonna make you go to school looking like that. So let that be a lesson to you, kids. Anyway,
yeah, that was Conrad.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. Jean shorts and black sneakers. Okay. So, yeah, guys, we did it again, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, I think it's fortunate. So, we thank you guys
hey,
for
you
hanging
know what?
Out.
I'd rather have a long show than one that was like, well, we're at minute 18 and we've run out of things to talk about.
running out of things to talk about is never going to be a problem with this show. It's going to be overrunning and using our allotted, you know, chunk that they give us, so which I am going to take steps towards avoiding and or fixing that problem. But for now, yeah, we'll try to keep it under an hour, or try to keep it to at least an hour. But we failed again. That's okay, because we're talking comic books, and I think we did our best to deliver what we said we were going to, as far as you know, we covered three eras of comic books, which I think is pretty cool. So
we did. We've covered the last 35 years of books.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat that we've, you know, we kind of had a multi-part thing. So we hope you guys enjoyed that, and you know, it's been a lot of fun. So, you got anything else to add, Jody?
No, nothing at all. I'm sure I'll think of 10 things I wish I would have discussed during the podcast, but for now, I'm ready to sign off.
Let's
get out of here.
Cool. Yeah, guys, check us out on Twitter at KitKarr83, KitKarr83. You can check out my Twitter page at Vandura81, Vandura 81. And Jody is at RegalFan. So RegalFan.
Make sure you check out our Facebook.
We've got
page.
Check out the Facebook page. Yeah. Go ahead.
Case in Point Podcast.
Yes. And we'll be further developing those outlets. So we thank you guys for hanging out with us, and we'll catch you next time.